This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Tech in Egypt, a bonus episode from For Tech's Sake, where we tear some problematic tech to shreds, just for you, the loyal Head Stuff Plus community members. I'm Elaine Burke.
And I'm Jenny Dormady.
And I'm going to start with some news straight off the presses. Not fresh by the time this comes out, but fresh-ish.
Fresh-ish, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
Jenny.
Yes.
Did you see YouTube's response to Sora?
Oh, not enough. I'm looking forward to your thoughts.
This is juicy.
Yeah.
So YouTube CEO Neil Mohan said that if videos on its platform were used to train Sora, that would be a clear violation of their terms of use. And that was with an interview with Emily Chang at Bloomberg.
Yeah.
So he said that the YouTube Terms of Service does not allow for transcripts or video bits to be downloaded. Fight. It's coming. Because I'm sure you remember the Wall Street Journal interview.
Yeah.
Right. So for anyone who's listening and doesn't know about this, all the tech journalists were salivating over this interview that the Wall Street Journal got with the CTO of OpenAI, Mira Murati. And it was right after they unveiled Sora. And Mira Murati was asked directly about the training data behind Sora, which is the text-to-video generation engine that they're like shouting about and so like impressing the world with. And she would not give a straight answer. Did you watch the video?
I did, yeah.
Like her initial answer was like, we used publicly available data and licensed data. But the interviewer, Joanna Stern, directly asked, did you use videos from YouTube? And she makes this face. Like, I took a screenshot to remind you of the face. Like, I mean,
so
the face she makes is just, I know it's hard to describe it, but look at that face. It's a proper gurn.
Oh,
and it's
like,
oh, I'm thinking real hard about, did we use YouTube on our training data? The world's most popular video platform to train our video generation engine. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And like, Joanna Stern was having none of that.
Yeah.
And she was like, right, videos from Facebook, Instagram, did you use any of that? And still no straight answer.
Yeah.
And that's when she starts stumbling. She's quite good in the interview up until that point. And then she starts fumbling her words. She's all over the shop. She's just like, I'm not confident. If it was publicly available, like it might be in the data, but I'm not sure. So also not saying no.
Yeah.
Like she definitely didn't say no.
Yeah.
And then Joanna Stern asked about Shutterstock, because Shutterstock is a company that, you know, provides stock imagery and stock footage as well. And they actually have a partnership with OpenAI. So she was like, surely you can answer on Shutterstock. You have a contract with them. And I think Mira was just shook at that point, because she was like, I'm not going to go into the details of the data that was used. And, you know, the press team then sent a follow up after the interview, because they were obviously spooked, and said that the training data does include licensed content from Shutterstock. So, you know, that would explain, you know, some of the video content that's in there, but
not all of it.
She didn't say no.
Yeah.
And she's the CTO. And for 2 days, she was the CEO, if we remember.
Yes.
For 2 days.
Yes.
In that mess.
That mess of a time.
And she's saying she doesn't know. She's the chief technology officer of this company and she doesn't know what's in the training data. I don't think.
Well, see, yeah, it's problematic for two reasons. One, if you actually don't know, that is a huge problem as the CTO, but also you do know and you're lying. You're a giant shrug emoji.
I don't know. And doesn't help, Wall Street Journal is digging into this story and they all had another report that cites people familiar with the matter, you know, that old chestnut, claiming that OpenAI has discussed training GPT-5, which will be the next iteation of its large language model, on transcriptions of public YouTube videos. And that's exactly what Neil was talking about. He said even downloading transcripts would be a violation of those terms of service. So those sources said that a subset of YouTube videos were already used to train ChatGPT or GPT-4.
Yeah.
Fight.
Yeah.
Fight, 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 fight.
I love it.
It's going to get interesting. But I don't know why I want this fight so bad, because it's like YouTube's owned by Google.
Oh, no, I know.
And it's just Google trying to protect the fact that it's building its own language model with Gemini and its own like generation engine and stuff like that. But sometimes I just want to watch the tech world burn.
No, absolutely. I'm just here for all the fight. Like, give me the popcorn. I mean, like, and OpenAI is already getting sued by like the New York Times as well for, you know, getting trained on thousands of articles, which they're like, no.
In the Sora videos as well that were in the Wall Street Journal interview, so the interviewer, Joanna, got them to generate some videos for her using Sora. And she gave a prompt of being like a mermaid with a crab assistant. And the little crab looks like Mr. Krabs. Is it Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob? Mr. Krabs. It looks like him. He's got a little mustache. And she's like, my prompt said nothing about a mustache. And he's got the big high eyeballs.
Yep.
Like, did you guys use copyrighted content to train this? There's a bull in a china shop that's animated that totally looks like Ferdinand from the cartoon. Like,
this is not. This is not
making
at all.
Very judgy faces.
This is not at all the point at all. But I'm surprised that crab friend of mermaid wasn't Sebastian from The Little Mermaid. I mean, if you're using...
Disney's got that content locked up. You're not getting in there.
What other crab cartoon do
they're
we have?
They're issuing takedowns to any YouTube video that's using their content.
Oh my God, the reacting videos who have to do Disney movies, I do feel bad for them. So yeah.
Yeah, those lawyers are tired, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I am here. I'm here for the scraps. Yeah. Like, I'm here for the mess that it is.
So, I mean, the Mira Marati story is an old one, but she is my tech and Egypt of the week because Neil Mohan's comments kind of are dragging her at the moment. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, fair.
Scandal.
I'm here for it. I love it.
So, do you have an Egypt?
I do. Well, first, I have a question. Can Egypts be whole companies?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure they have the capacity.
Well, my tech and Egypt is
They can even be an inanimate object. I don't mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was going to be my second question. Okay. Not for this story, but my tech and Egypt of the week is Meta.
And classic. I mean, that could just be like a constant.
Yeah. End of episode. Start, middle and end of the story. Yeah. And we close it out. I'll just go with the headline. Meta's AI image generator can't imagine an Asian man with a white woman.
Oh, God.
Have you seen?
No, I did not see this.
So this is a story in The Verge. Verge reporter Mia Sato was playing around with Meta's AI-powered image generator and tried dozens of times, she said, to create an image of an Asian person with a white person. And she said only once was Meta's image generator able to return an accurate image featuring the races I specified. It kept spitting back out two Asian people. Often it was also specifically an older Asian man with a much younger Asian woman. And oftentimes it was a very, very light-skinned white woman or Asian woman. And also in, it tried to do traditional Asian clothes.
Because depicting an Asian woman, it has to be some kind of like overly enhanced stereotype as opposed to just a woman being.
Yeah. Yeah.
just modern. Yeah. Asian woman.
And I mean, this is a story that I saw this week, but obviously it's not new in terms of the problem. AI bias continues. And previously.
Yeah, that's like, is that a problem with the engine or a problem with data? Is it a problem with media representation of mixed race couples?
Yeah.
That raises a lot of questions.
Yeah.
That's rich.
Yeah, 100%. But also like a few weeks ago, Google's Gemini got into hot water. Do you remember that?
I think I was away.
It might have been when you were away.
I did not read any news when I was away. I was on my holidays.
Well, what you missed was inaccurate historical depictions. Which,
oh, do you know what? I think I saw a said headline going by and I wanted to click on it, but I was like, no, I'm on my holidays.
Right. It's fair. What happened. Well, Google tried to create a wide range of results. You know, they were thinking of diversity. Mm-hmm. So that's what they were trying to do was the opposite of what the Meta problem is there's not enough representation.
They're trying to correct the media problem that exists prior to building their model.
Yeah.
Right. How did that go?
Well, there was groups of like Nazi era German soldiers, but they were people of color.
Were there no? Yeah. No, that wouldn't make sense, would it? No. The whole Aryan look doesn't really vibe with. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They said we missed the mark. I believe was their statement afterwards.
Why were they generating images of Nazis?
I don't know the discovery questions. I mean, like,
that's your go-to for your demo. Like, and we'll just throw in some Nazis.
I don't think it was their demo. I think it was just unearthed, like, as part of the thing.
So is this data that they fed into the model, or an output?
I assume so. Yeah, it was an output, but like, okay, because of data that they were trying to make sure that
overcorrect.
Yeah.
Rewrite history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this is gas. This is, they're scrambling now because of all the people like in the world coming out of the AI ethicists and stuff like that, saying all these problems of biases and stuff like that. And they're
panic.
Cack-handed solutions to this are gas.
Yeah. It had to be pulled, like, obviously, unsurprisingly.
Why were they generating images of Nazis? I'm still stuck on that. Like, why was that where they went to? Like, curious.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my tech in Egypt is Meta.
Fun.
And also let's throw Google
in as
well.
Your tech in Egypt is like AI generated images.
Yeah.
Or which comes is it to the media question. Landscape being fed into them and the problems they're in.
And the data, the biased data, that is the tech in, that is the true tech in Egypt.
This is the true tech in Egypt of our time. Right, that's the Egypts.
Yeah.
Do you have any tech and legends to talk about?
Yes, I have an awesome story.
Okay.
I don't know if it counts as a tech and legend, but I think it's tech
just
and
a
legend.
Just a cool story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
You're going to go with the headline again. Alaska will try to use a robot to scare wildlife away from an airport. My tech and legend is the robot.
What kind of, like, is he like Spot? What's he like?
Yeah.
So he's a quadruped, but can he also be a biped? How scary is he?
I haven't seen him. So he can go across really, really rocky terrain and he can go upstairs.
Cool.
Yeah. But I haven't seen him. I don't think he goes up on the two legs. It's just a dog like Boston Dynamics. It's called Aurora. And it's to augment airport safety by trying to prevent like hazardous encounters between like planes and wildlife. I did see a picture of a real Labrador looking a bit startled. Up against Aurora.
Labs are probably the least brave of
the
dogs. So I'm like, he's getting spooked easily.
Yeah.
But like, what kind of like wildlife are they dealing with in an Alaskan airport? Like, could it be bears and stuff? Oh, it is just birds.
Is the main thing. Yeah. Like, so it's coming up to like the season. They're going to come up to the season of like the migrating birds, and they're trying not to, they're preventing like bird strikes basically with planes.
Right.
By like, it's basically a robotic scarecrow.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Which like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Let's innovate on scarecrows. It's about damn time.
Yeah. To keep them away from the runways of Fairbanks International Airport. And the agency will also test how it works on large animals like bears as well.
I knew there'd be bears.
And moose.
Oh, they're big. Jesus.
And they want to see how it'll respond. They may not be scared of the Labrador-sized four-legged robot. Like, but like, they've never seen it before.
Yeah, do you think animals get like uncanny valley sensations and stuff like that? What the hell?
I mean, maybe.
I'm confused and scared.
But also they said that the robot's panels could be replaced to make it resemble like a fox or a coyote, which I think is the plan for the birds. Like, if it looks more like a predator that birds are used to, they might be like, oh shit, we're not going near that thing.
Yeah, because the birds do get smart. We've seen that with the things that are meant, those like birds of prey that are like fake birds of prey attached to various roofs across the city. And like, sometimes you'll see the birds hanging out with them because they realize
it doesn't move.
Yeah, it's static or just goes in this one circle all the time. He's not a threat to me.
Yeah.
Screw you. Birds are smart.
They are, yeah. So I think a moving dog like Boston Dynamics robot, which is just like, it continues to be both terrifying and wonderful to me in equal measure. Like, when I watch it move, it kind of freaks the shit out of me. Yeah.
But this also seems like a good use of those robots. Like, it's not, I don't know, like delivering military supplies to warmongering people. Like, that's some of the use cases that have been proposed for it. This is cuter.
Yeah. So that's my tech and legend of the week is Aurora the robot.
Right. Well, I have kind of a controversial legend for you. You specifically are not going to like this.
Oh.
And it will seem unclear at first.
Okay.
Where I'm going with this. So you're going to have to just bear with me.
I swear to God, if it's who I think it is, I'll be so mad.
Let's hold your horses. So I spotted this tweet from Abeba Berhane, and she was an excellent guest on AI in season one. And honestly, if Bebe Brahani sends out a tweet saying, read this, you read this.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do.
She tells you to do something, you do it.
Her feed is excellent. She has really interesting stuff. So what she was pointing people towards was this 30-something thread post from Cory Doctorow, who's a journalist and tech author. He's written some really cool books on technology, and he's but like ourselves, throw quite a critical eye
sure
on these things. And this thread is all about Google search, which I think we are in agreement on it going a bit shitty.
It's trash.
Yeah, it's trash. It's not great these days.
Yep.
And there's lots of media analysts in the space that we cover saying much the same thing. And he goes to town on why Google is shit now, how they ruined their own world-leading product and also trapped us all into using it thanks to mega deals that make sure it's always the default search engine. And it goes on and on. But in a sidebar, he talks about this search engine, Kaji, which is apparently magic to use. So I'm going to check that out and report back. It is a paid search engine, but he really bigged it up. But that's not what this is about. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. That's something that people might be interested in looking into. And I know DuckDuckGo is starting to run TV ads at the moment. So like,
I have seen a lot more.
I'm actually really excited about this new era for search. Like, yeah. It's a really fundamental technology we all use. And like, Google does not deserve the title for it anymore, I don't think. And I'm going to start trying out new stuff. That's beside the point. So amid this rant about how Google search has gone to shit, but remains the dominant search engine and how that then shapes the content on the web, which is often trying to do well to appear at the top of search results. So he linked to this article written by the editor-in-chief of The Verge. And I just want you to read this headline, please.
Oh, I'm already annoyed. Best printer 2024, best printer for home use, office use, printing labels, printer for school, homework printer, you are printer. We are all printers.
It's amazing. So I know you're mad because it's an article about printers. I know you're already mad. But the structure of that headline and the entirety of that article is just a massive two fingers up to Google's destruction of content through the enshittification of search, to borrow Cory Doctorow's term. And it soothes my soul.
I'm so conflicted because I hate the printers, but also that headline is beautiful.
It's the whole article. It's so meta. So he's like, it's a whole year since I last told you to just buy a Brother Laser printer. And especially if it's on sale, if it's gone on a good price, go buy that printer. It's fine. It will do the job that you need to do. And he's like, but my article's fallen down the list of Google search results because of these content farms throwing out these, like, you know, best home computer, basically queries that would go into search results being turned into headlines and the content being regenerated with those new headlines all the time. If you put in anything, you'll get a year suggested in it. Like, I want to buy headphones. Headphones 2004?
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, whatever. Like, and it goes on. And he's like, I'm also including a box of buttons to buy a Brother Laser printer, which is our affiliate fee. So he's explaining everything about the online content universe right now in this text. And then the end of it is like, we've also got some AI generated copy from Google's Gemini in order to pad this thing out, just because the length of the article also sends a signal to Google. And he used Google's own tool to write this stuff. And he's like, don't bother reading it. It's absolute trash. It's a work of art.
Oh my God.
I'm so impressed by it. It's genius. And like, this happens. Google has started to shape not only content, but even how businesses are naming themselves. Did you hear about Thai food near me?
Oh my God.
It's a real restaurant in like New York or something like that, because people stick into Google Maps.
Thai food near me.
There's a place called Thai food near me.
That is genius. It's terrible.
It's terrible
that they... No, absolutely horrific and a sign of the world we live in and like burn it to the ground in loads of reasons. Like, Google is terrible.
Also gas.
But also, that restaurant deserves a medal.
They did great business out of it.
That, like... Yeah. I mean, you schooled it. Like, I'm here for it. I'm here for the bullshit.
But, so they are a Thai food restaurant. But apparently there's others now using it nefariously, like calling them their businesses something near me, and like, that's not even really their business, or they're not even actually near you. They've just like bought that name, and their name is near me no matter where you're searching.
Yeah.
So then they ruined the functionality of that term and that search term, which I use a lot. ATM near me, coffee shop near me, stuff like that. So yeah, interesting development there. And as I was coming here, I passed by what I'm sure used to be called the Westin.
Yes.
College Green Hotel.
Yeah.
And I was like, why have they got a new name? What's that about? The Westin was a fine name. And I'm like, oh, it's literally, people may just Google College Green Hotel or Hotel by College Green.
Yeah. That's been a while now, and I'm so disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know you like to do a little bit of work out of the Weston.
I do. I'm not the Weston anymore.
Yeah. Are you going to keep
calling it? The College Green. Yeah, but I'm also going to keep calling it the Weston.
Yeah. And you're going to go to the Point. And you're going to go to the Grand Canal Theatre.
Yeah.
You're going to do all of those things.
Yeah.
Because I hate that naming structure stuff. This is the corporate naming structure is worse, though. But still.
Yeah. Well, it's different to, like, Google. But, Well, I don't mind it. I don't mind that story because he is a legend. You're not saying printers are legends. That's different. And really,
you're going to get mad because I brought a printer so in the legend slot.
Well, the printer isn't the legend. Like, that's okay.
No, that article is
The legend, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
And truly, we are all printers.
We are all printers.
I think the real printers are the friends we made along the way.
Thanks for listening to Tech and Egypt's, our bonus content from For Tech's Sake. Remember, if you can hear this, you can also listen to all of the brilliant bonus content from across the Headstuff Podcast Network, and you really should.
And since you seem to like us so much, thanks so much for that, why don't you follow us at For Tech's Sake Pod and at Silicon Republic on your platform of choice, or reach out to us via fortechsakepod@gmail.com. Or best of all, you can share this podcast with someone else and leave us a review while you're at it.
And next week, we'll be back in the main feed with an all-new episode. And until then, bye.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.